We're talking about what you need to do to get your home studio to where it really stands out and looks great on video. It's a good representation of you as a professional, as a creator, whatever message you're trying to get across. You can do it by upgrading your home studio. And we have here somebody today who is the master of home studios. In fact, his company's called Home Studio Mastery. He's the author of Mastering iPhone Video Production. He hosts the Hacks and Hobbies podcast. He's got a new book coming out soon. He's got a new home studio rehab challenge that he's offering at a discount. You can find him everywhere on social media at SuperJanaid. And he's also an entrepreneur and a brilliant thought leader when it comes to online business, marketing, tech. I'm super excited to have, for the first time, Mr. Junaid Ahmed. Junaid, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ross. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. You know, I've been collaborating with you for the past few years on the 100 live stream productions, and that's been an excellent experience. And when I've been getting these emails with you interviewing guests and interviewing experts, like, wait, you have a podcast and I haven't been on? Let's put this together.
Well, since I started my LinkedIn newsletter, I've been just taking topics that are of interest to people on social media, for instance, like LinkedIn strategy, social selling, and I'm thinking, home studio. I mean, look, I could use some help back here, right? I mean, I don't know if there's much you could do with this small space, but I wanted to ask you, let's start out with just a basic thing as an observer, somebody who understands studios and what works. What tells you when you look at a video, this person knows what they're doing with their studio, and what tells you this is a studio that needs some help?
Well, a lot of the times the lighting might need some help, right? And most of the times the audio might need a lot more help. Now, a lot of the people that I'm following, a lot of people that are in the community of podcasting, they already know that audio is important. So they've got a good microphone, they've got a good setup, they've got good audio treatment set up in their room so that they sound crisp and clear and people can pay attention. But video is something that is new, it's brand new, it's coming. A lot of podcasters are moving from audio only to video, to including video, and they're wondering, okay, what do I need to invest in the first thing? So I say, hey, get a good set of lights in your space so that people can actually see you and you're not blending in with the rest of the room.
Light's more important than like the quality of the camera, even like does lighting, what degree does lighting actually mean more than camera? Because I see a lot of people, they go out and they talk about getting an expensive camera and then they don't have any decent lighting on it and they're wondering why it doesn't look any better than the webcam that they were using for the last year or so.
Yes, so lighting is that much more important because think about it, when you wake up in the morning, what do we do with our windows? We open up the curtains. We let the light in so we can actually see where you're going to be stepping into. You don't want to be tripping over toys. You don't want to be tripping over your slippers and whatnot. So we do want light because our eyes are the cameras are mirrored and function the same way our eyes do. So we definitely need a good lighting setup to get started. Now, luckily for a lot of us, we have windows, we have the sun shining. But what if you're creating this video content? What if you're creating this video when the sun is not out, right? What then? Well, you might be recording in a dark room, kind of like this. Or maybe you just have lights in the wrong place and people are like, wait, I can't see you, Junaid. Can you come out of the dark?
Yeah. So, you know, I look at your setup. Just tell me real quick, like, what's the basic for setting up lighting? If somebody's starting out and they're on a tight budget, they want to get just what they need in order to light their video, What would you say are a few things they should do as far as lighting goes? And this is really, by the way, this is really the thing that's never talked about, is lighting. I mean, people talk about cameras, they talk about gear. We love to talk about microphones and audio, but lighting always seems to get missed in the conversation.
100%, and that's because we don't understand the lighting as much as we think we do. Because most of the times we're sitting in rooms like this where we have overhead lights, and you know, you can kind of see what's happening, and like, hey, I've got my camera set up right, I've got lights in the room, people can see me, the camera can see me, let's go and make it happen. But what I focus on is turn off the lights, start with a blank canvas, set the camera so it can't see anything else. Now the light that you're seeing here is from my monitor, and if I turn on just one piece of light, you're basically set and ready to go. People can see you, they can hear you. Let's keep the show rolling. As you get more comfortable, I'm like, okay, I like this lighting setting. Let me add some more lights in here. So I've got a fill light here that's then filling up, you know, more of me. You can see more of me. You can see a little more of the room back here. And then I've added a third light, which is a hair light. So then not only lights up my hair, but you can also see more of my shoulders defined, and it's separated from the background. Then I'm adding a floodlight to, again, further separate the background from me. So again, I'm layering different types of lighting, giving it different name, and these are the same type of three-point lighting that you'll see photographers use, that you'll see artists use, that you'll see filmmakers use when they're setting up a shot.
What's interesting to me is the way that your lighting is set up, especially you see it when that first light comes on, is that it completely illuminates your face, but you're not thinking, boy, it's bright. In fact, it's dark everywhere else but right on the subject.
Yeah.
Are you putting that first light right on you, or is it coming from the side and then the fill's coming from the other side?
Right, so if I were to switch my camera around and show you what's happening, so I have the main key light right in front of me, and you'll see this grid kind of stuff happening, and this grid is what's making sure that this light is focused directly on me and nothing else.
Right.
Right, and then I've got another light kind of like at 45 degrees or 60 degrees angle on my right that's, you know, either, again, focusing on lighting me up. So I have a little bit more shadow on this side than this side. And that's because, you know, I want to have more dimension. Now, depending on who you are and what kind of lighting you want, like for some of the clients that I worked with that are female, they want more lighting and they want minimal shadows. So then we have a different lighting arrangement for that kind of setup.
Okay, so you have your lighting set up. What are people doing when they're going from audio only and now they want to put their podcast on YouTube and they're going, I'm going to go all in and I'm going to do video with it. What are some of the biggest mistakes you're seeing, things that you're like, don't do that? If you just don't do that, you're already ahead of the game.
Well, the number one thing that we like to do ourselves when we're setting up, let's say our office, you'll set up a corner of a room where you like the look. The window might not be in front of you. The window might be on the side. The window might be behind you. And sometimes you can't really control where the windows are. But because you like the look of how you want the room to be set up, you'll just not think about what the camera sees. And it's always going to see what's behind you. And we don't have eyes in the back of our head, so we can't really see what that's going to look like. So when you start, you'll see that people have windows in their backgrounds with lights and sunlight coming in. What that does, it takes away the attention of the camera from you to that light, because the camera wants to focus on the highlights in that shot. So you want to make sure that you eliminate that window or put a curtain, dark curtain, light blocking curtain on it. You know, nice, pretty curtain, just bring some kind of personality in that room. Or if you are able to, just move the camera around so that you don't have that light shining into the camera. The second thing that I've seen is you'll see doors in your shots or in the client's shots.
Hey, I got two of them.
You got two doors.
Even three of them if you want to consider the cabinet.
And what's cool is that you can, there's multiple ways that you can include those doors into the shot. Like in door number one, we've got guest coming on. Just you wait, right? So you can bring it into the story. And now people are laughing. They're engaged in the conversation. They're no longer paying attention to that door.
What would you do? Is there anything you can do? Like, let's say you're in a limited space like I am.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot that I can do here. If I put some sort of banner up back there or whatever,
sure.
I'm blocking the door. I can't go in and out. I can use a green screen, but mm-hmm. I'm getting the sense from looking at your studios that you generally don't go with a green screen. Is that correct?
That is correct. So I don't go with green screen because green screen is a totally different art, because you got to light the green screen separately from lighting yourself. Again, more lighting conversation, because now you're lighting two different things, and you know you got to have the distance. Now, I've helped clients in design studios in rooms as small as 5 foot wide by 10 foot long, mm-hmm. right? So there's no room that's not designable. There's no room that you can't play around, because the beautiful thing about cameras is that you can control what it sees. Now, the reason that you only see this much is because that's what I want the camera to see. But if I were to turn my camera to the side, there's a whole lot of nothing, or, you know, my doorways out there. And on this side, I've built this wall up because I wanted a kind of a stylish look in the space. So when I enter, this is what I see. And it reminds me, hey, this is why I did this, because I want to show up in the most authentic, most personal way that I can.
The way you have it isn't distracting either, whereas if you had more of that wide area that you showed that's empty open, it's sort of like having a door open, and the viewer the entire time you're sort of wondering, like, where's that lead? Or what's going on out there? You know what I mean? It's like it distracts you from the show.
Yeah.
So, do you recommend for your clients when they're doing talking head videos, do you recommend using multi-camera, or do you recommend sticking with one camera if you're basically doing a talking head video podcast kind of content?
So if you have the budget and you can spring for the extra camera, I recommend it, because you're no longer doing jump cuts. And that's what we've seen. And it's almost become a trend where you have jump cuts, because as human beings, we talk with pauses, we talk with breaks, we talk sometimes repeating ourselves multiple times.
Right.
And when you have a two camera angle set up, so here's my secondary camera angle, when I'm recording with two different cameras, I can cut between this shot and this shot and make it seem like I didn't even skip a beat. I didn't even have any of those crutch words in there as I'm talking.
So you eliminate the jump cut where that awkward pause was while you were thinking, or you said, you just eliminate that by making it look like you intentionally went to show the rest of your studio or mm-hmm. a different angle and then back.
And what you'll notice with for tools like Opus Pro and some other ones, they're now including B-roll, right? B-roll is something everybody knows about now.
Right.
Before, it was mostly known to, director of photography, filmmakers and whatnot, because people are like, you got to shoot B-roll. You know, we see a lot of B-roll when we're watching movies, TV shows, cooking shows, what have you. And those B-rolls connect the story between what you're saying and visualizing it with that B-roll. So again, think of this side angle shot as a B-roll into what you're having a conversation. Now, every once in a while, you can probably turn to this camera and say, hey, I really want you to know what I'm talking about.
This is your last chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you look at using a second camera, are there any special considerations if you go to a second camera?
So it doesn't have to be as expensive as your main camera. You can use a webcam that you already have that you know, let's say you start with a webcam and then you're upgrading from the webcam to a DSLR camera. You can use that webcam as a secondary camera angle, right? You can use that webcam as a top-down camera angle as well, especially if you're going to be reading books or if you're going to showcasing some products and whatnot, it definitely helps.
So if the main camera is basically straight on, right? Mm-hmm. And for your basic talking headshot,
yeah.
What's a good second shot within a home office, home bedroom, home studio kind of thing where maybe you don't have a lot of room where you really can't show what's off too far out of the range of the first camera, right?
Sure. That's a great question. And it all comes down to what's in the room and what if that shot is going to, let's say, add more context, add more dimension to what you're talking about. So again, it's all personal preference. It's all experimentation that you can do, you know, to show what if that even makes sense.
Yeah. So getting a little bit more advanced with it, what is something that you would say, this you should consider adding? Like, you've been doing this for a while, you know your gear, you're doing well, you have a good mic, your camera's set up and working, you got an audio interface, or you've got a switcher, you've got the basics, capture card, you've got all the basics, your lighting's okay. Mm-hmm. Is there some device, software, tool, trick, something that, you know, can really up the level of your video presentation from your home studio?
100%. There's several different software tools. For example, we're using StreamYard right now, and you can technically have multiple different scenes in this show as well, where you're switching from the full screen to the close-up crop shot to another shot where you're then showing additional things. You know, So you can switch between these different types of shots when you're setting up the show. That's going to add more dynamics to your production. Other tools would be something like a Stream Deck, where you can pre-program buttons to say, hey, every time I press this button, it's going to either play music, it's going to play a DJ horn, or it's going to play some claps going on. So you're creating more interaction with interactive video production. And what's really cool is study the experts. Now, who are the experts? We have Ecamm Live. I think they have Leap into Live program going on that they do very often. There's a lot of videos out there. You can also look at popular television, for example, late night shows. What are they doing in their segments? What are they doing to keep the audience engaged? What kind of things are they doing? Can you bring into the shot? Now, let's say you've got the cameras, you've got the lights and everything. The one thing I love is once you added the software, once you've added the StreamYard, you can now start adding more motion into your shots. What do I mean by that? For example, in the back there, I've got a camera on a slider that basically goes from one end to the other. You get a more dynamic look at the subject, at the conversation that you're having. And those kind of setups are really good when you're doing, let's say, an in-person interview with somebody and you have this main camera angle that's going side to side with a little movement. And it just adds more depth to the conversation. You feel like you're there now with them in the same room as they are.
Wow. Well, this is a conversation we have to continue because you've got so much knowledge on the topic, and you have a new book that's coming out that's going to help a lot of people, 7 Stages of Home Studio Evolution. just real quick, you said it's coming out maybe at the end of the month, early next month. Tell us a little bit about what the people can find in that book when it comes out.
Absolutely. So The Seven Stages was inspired by Robert Kiyosaki. He had seven levels of investors. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. What investor do I fall under? Am I the novice investor? Am I the investor that's putting my money in forgetting about it? You know, what kind of investor I am. So as I read through this book, I was like, this would be interesting, because as somebody who's a podcaster, somebody who's a live streamer, somebody who's creating video content and helping others set up their studios, I want to tell people, hey, you're at this level right now, and here's the tools that you might already have to qualify to be in this level. But guess what? To go to the next level, here's some additional gear that you might be putting in your studio space, changing the stuff around to go to the next level. So the beginner level is, you know, the hobbyist, the novice, the hobbyist, the pro, the expert. You know, you have seven different levels, and with each level comes additional gear and additional experience. Because the one thing that people don't realize is the experience that you need to be able to perform in front of the camera. Now, lucky for me, I knew how to set up the gear. I knew how to set up the technology part of things. But what really sucked is that I still didn't know how to perform well in front of the camera. So that took me 2 years to get really good at, to, you know, experiment and exercise and still a learning experience. So again, you can have the best car, the fastest car in the world. It doesn't mean that you can compete with the fastest people in the world.
Do you find most people, in terms of their skill on camera, is ahead of their gear in their studio, or most people's gear in studio is ahead of where they are in terms of how they're doing on camera and you know, getting the content across? Where do you think most people fall?
I think they fall right in the middle between good enough on camera and good enough in you know, delivering the message that they're talking about, and which is totally fine. Some people are further ahead. It all comes down to how much time are you putting in the gym? How much time are you putting in the reps? How much time are you putting in to, you know, create the really polished content?
All right, Junaid, thank you so much for being here. You've got the 5-day home studio rehab challenge going on, and you've got some great discounts on that. People can check out your website at Home Studio Mastery to learn more about that. And again, the new book coming out soon. Look forward to 7 Stages of Home Studio Evolution. Find him on social media. Connect with him. He's a great follow at Super Junaid. Junaid, thanks again for joining us for a little bit.
Thanks, Ross. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate you, man.
Great chatting with you.